Hello and welcome to Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine. This is volume 44, number 33, brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. This edition is published on Friday the 16th of August 2024. I'm Graham, your presenter, joined this week by newsreader Margaret. And in the news, a warning to plan early for possible autumn and winter flooding. Sign the Paget petition, say the council. Someone could be shooting gulls. And experts from Kew Gardens are helping with the winter gardens plans. In addition, huge spiders are thriving, and it's time for the monthly programme from Vision Norfolk. All this coming your way during the next hour-ish. But first, we have a birthday. It's very best wishes to listener Karen Norton, celebrating on this coming Sunday, the 18th. Have a great time, Karen. Have a great time, Karen. Right, direct from Galston Seafront, it's time to welcome Margaret with the first of this week's local news.
Hello, I'm Margaret, your newsreader for this week, and what a glorious week it's been weather-wise. I've spent some time down at the beach hut watching the many families laden down with so much stuff. You've never seen anything like it. But I've loved the expression on the children's faces when they see the beach and the sea, probably for the first time. Brought back so many memories for me as I spent my childhood, well, and teenage years, on the beach, you know me. But I happened to spot in the EDP this week, talking about my beloved Galston, as I frequently do, there was a letter entitled, Memories Are Made of This. It was whilst I was preparing for our next show that these words from an old Irish poet flooded back to me. Fond memory brings the light of other days around me. On Sunday, August the 25th, 2024, at 7 p.m, we will be presenting Memories Are Made of This at Galston Pavilion Theatre in support of its restoration funds and Guide Dogs for the Blind. A glance back at the good old days of summer times at the seaside. We're hoping our entertainment with our talented friends may provide a welcome distraction, a little light relief from the troubled times in which we find ourselves today. We would like our audience to sit back and enjoy recalling some of the songs of yesteryear and maybe renew their appreciation for the sun, sea and sand and the beautiful coast in which we are privileged to live, guarded by our ever-faithful lifeboat crews. There is a warm invitation to share with us memories of those good old days of summertime when the living was easy. We look forward to your company. And the letter is from Dusty Miller, Meadowcourt, Galston. Yes, Dusty, I'll be there. Don't worry, supporting you. And perhaps some of the Grapevine listeners might like to come along. Tickets are £12 each and they're available from the box office at the Pavilion in my beloved Galston. So, enough of my ramblings, and I better start on with the news. So, if you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin. Firefighters have tackled a blaze that broke out in a property in the south end of King Street. Crews were called at about 10:50 p.m. on Tuesday to reports of a blaze. A spokesman for Norfolk Fire and Rescue Service said crews wore breathing apparatus and used hose reel jets to extinguish the blaze. Firefighters then used a thermal imaging camera to check for any hot spots after the blaze was put out. A stop call was made at about 11:20 p.m. by the fire service. A boat has been stolen on the Norfolk Broads. Police say the American John Style boat was moored in a boathouse in Catfield near Hickling Broad when it was stolen. The green and tan bottom vessel doesn't have an outboard motor and requires oars which were believed to be on board. Going missing in the first half of July, police are now appealing to the public for anybody who may have seen the theft, seen the boat, or have been offered it for sale. Anyone with any information is asked to contact Norfolk Police on 101. A relic of a Norfolk town's seafaring heyday could be given a new lease of life. Maritime House, the former seafront sailor's home, one of the most prominent buildings in Great Yarmouth, could be turned into a cafe as part of a major revamp. Plans have been lodged to transform the 19th century listed building into a new venue, which also includes office space and flats on the upper floors. The refurb project is being undertaken by Kenzuko Properties, a Norfolk-based firm that specialises in renovation work. Maritime House, which began life as a haven for shipwrecked sailors, was put on the market for £250,000 in February this year by Great Yarmouth Borough Council, with the authority calling the three-storey property surplus to requirements. The applicant has said the revamp will ensure the building's connection with its nautical past will remain through a themed concept that recognises its rich history. The RNLI will also assist with the project, with the charity set to benefit from fundraising events at the site. Maritime House was built as the British and Foreign Sailors' Home and Refuge for the shipwrecked in 1860. Thousands of sailors passed through the home over 100 years, with 1,400 staying there during the Second World War. From 1967, the building was used as the Maritime Museum. After that closed in 2002, the museum's varied collection of 5,000 objects was moved to the then yet open Time and Tide Museum on Blackfriars Road. The building then became the home to the Great Yarmouth Tourist Authority until 2018 and the Tourist Information Centre until 2020. The building became the focus of debate in recent years due to the significant costs it posed to the council, £42,769 per year in maintenance and other costs. And I seem to remember as a child, there was a great big stone trough outside, especially for the horses to stop and drink. Oh, that was probably a long while ago. Right, now to the present. Electric vehicle chargers. Towns and villages across Norfolk are to get more electric vehicle charging points once council bosses have identified companies to install them. Norfolk County Council has been awarded £6.4 million from the government's Local Electric Vehicle Fund, that's LEVI, to provide public charge points across the county. And Graham Plant, the Conservative-controlled Council's Cabinet Member for Highways, Infrastructure and Transport, has given the go-ahead for the authority to start the process of finding companies to install and operate these charge points. While the Council has yet to reveal where the charge points would be installed, they will focus on areas where people have no suitable charging facilities near or at their homes. The council has agreed it will split the procurement process to find companies into three phases, with 2 to 3 district council areas in each phase of the competition. Norwich has already had some public chargers installed. The council awarded a contract to Blink Charging UK for charge points on 30 roads across the city. The first 5 on-street charging points went live in late May, and between then and the end of June, the council said they were being used each on an average of 10 times a week. Norfolk has one of the lowest proportions of electric vehicles and vehicle chargers in the UK. But council bosses who unveiled an electric vehicle strategy in 2021 want to encourage more people to use them, with the government due to end the sale of new petrol and diesel cars and vans by 2035. The council says the use of the LEVI funding will subsidise private investment to make Norfolk communities more financially viable to prospective investors. One private company which has invested in Norfolk is GridServe, which opened a vehicle charging station at Postwick in April 2022, offering shopping options alongside 22 high power ports. A warning has been issued that Norfolk could see flooding earlier than normal this year, with people urged to think how to protect their homes from rising waters. Recent years have seen hundreds of homes affected by flooding over the winter months, and leaders fear properties could be at risk sooner than in previous years. The 3 months to June saw abnormally high levels of rainfall, on top of the previous 6 months' worth of exceptional rain. Experts said that means Norfolk is at risk of flooding faster and earlier than in previous years. Groundwater levels remain high, while Environment Agency readings show that East Anglian river flows in June were up 172% the long-term average, with water trapped in the system. Henry Cater, chair of the Norfolk Strategic Flooding Alliance, said, "For many people in Norfolk, the memory of last winter's floods is still fresh, but because of the wet spring and summer we've experienced, we have no time to relax. There's a real chance of flooding earlier than usual this year, which means homeowners can't afford to wait until the autumn to prepare. We all need to start thinking, planning and acting now to keep our properties safe and dry this winter." The Alliance warns that high groundwater levels mean there is less capacity for water to be soaked into the ground. It says that makes it particularly important that guttering, ditches and drains are free of blockages to stop water building up around homes. Installing water butts can also avoid water pooling on the ground, while people are urged to consider flood resilience products such as emergency barriers, self-expanding sandbags, non-return valves for household drainage pipes and waterproof front doors. James Bensley, Norfolk County Council's Cabinet Member for Environment, said, "Without the normal sunshine and heat, water that normally evaporates or soaks away is still there, leaving less space in which fresh autumn rainfall can drain away. If we want to protect homes and businesses from flooding this winter, we all need to start planning now." Time is running out for artists to take a walk on the wild side by grabbing the opportunity to transform a safari herd into something spectacular. Break, the charity behind the Go-Go Safari Sculpture Trail, coming to Norfolk next summer, is looking for artists to bring the work of art to life. But time is running out as submissions are closing at the end of this month. Ellie Edge, Break Partnerships Manager, said, "This is really a unique opportunity for new and established artists to showcase their creative talents to thousands of people. Seeing the creativity the artists come up with is truly inspiring, and the eye-catching designs are the best part of the trail. It's a fantastic chance to be part of something that the whole community enjoys, whilst helping us to raise valuable funds so we can continue our vital work supporting young people from care. The charity is calling on artists of all mediums and abilities to submit their designs before midnight on August the 31st to be in with a chance of gaining a paid commission and their artwork displayed across Norwich and Norfolk when the trail goes live in June 2025. Both professional and amateur artists are being encouraged to let their imaginations run wild to bring the charity's Big Five sculptures, a lion, giraffe, rhino, elephant and gorilla, to life. Designs should fit into these themes or genres: Norwich or Norfolk, graffiti, street and illustrative art, characters, mosaic and textured, contemporary and modern art, natural world and the environment, or science or literature. Miss Edge said, "We can't wait to see all the amazing designs as they are submitted, so get involved." A Norfolk festival has broken records despite lower canine competition participation. Gorston Clifftop Festival celebrated its 25th year on August the 3rd and 4th, with organisers hailing it a success. Even though numbers were down on the 2024 Fun Dog competition, the event still ran smoothly, according to the festival committee. The festival's primary sponsor, First Furnishings, used the occasion to mark its 40th anniversary. The team, which included Will, Courtney, Kelvin and Vaughan, mingled with customers while serving Pimm's and Prosecco. Simultaneously, they oversaw a competition to win a bed partnered with Silent Night. Among the guests was Great Yarmouth Mayor Paula Walters Bunn. Event organiser Vicky Webber hailed the festival's overwhelming success. She said the decision to move the festival from the last weekend in July to avoid clashing with Latitude has proved a real success, with more visitors than ever supporting the Clifftop. Miss Webber also expressed gratitude to the many volunteers and supporters. She said, "We are grateful for the support of many local businesses and that First Furnishings have supported us again this year. We're also grateful for the strengthening collaboration with the Pavilion Theatre. It was gratifying to see people of all ages really enjoying themselves over the weekend. We look forward to doing it all again next year with the continuing help and support from across the community." Highlights include an all-free children's programme, an acoustic arena, a well-received silent disco, and the main music arena featuring the Buster James Band and the Baconians as headline acts. It was a record year for charitable fundraising, with the committee confident that they significantly exceeded the target of raising £10,000. To support the 2025 festival, happening on August the 2nd and the 3rd, donations can be made on the festival's Just Giving page. A Norfolk burglar stole £5,000 worth of items from a house after crawling through a dog flap. Ben Hatto, 43, from Great Yarmouth, broke into the house in the Cambridgeshire village of Impington in June 2021 while the victim was out food shopping. He and fellow burglar Winston Papalaka, 28, ransacked rooms before stealing items, including a laptop, three watches, diamond and sapphire earrings, a Tiffany gold ring, euros and cash. On returning home, the victim noticed the dog flap on the back door had been slightly damaged. The pair were seen acting suspiciously, with one neighbour recognising Papalaka as they left. A second neighbour noticed jewellery laying on the ground after it had been discarded as they fled. Items sent for forensic tests discovered Hatto's fingerprints. Hatto of North Dean's Road admitted the offence at a previous hearing and is due to be sentenced on September the 13th. Papalaka from South London denied the offence but was found guilty after standing trial at Peterborough Crown Court. He has been jailed for 4 years and 6 months. The slow decline of many local high streets has been laid bare in a new report from the Federation of Small Businesses, FSB. The Future of the High Street reveals multiple factors threatening the future of the East's once thriving shopping quarters. Shop closures resulting in unattractive vacant units are a major concern. Poor parking management and provision is also causing problems, along with inadequate public transport. The report finds that almost three quarters of the region's small business owners have reported retail store closures on their local high street since the COVID-19 pandemic. Two-thirds have seen closures in hospitality, with more than half saying bank branches have shut, nearly three quarters, also reported vacant units. Business owners in the East say that high street access is a key concern, with 52% claiming parking facilities are badly managed and 40% saying that public transport is not good enough. Many business owners in the region are now calling for investment from local authorities to help promote the East, improve infrastructure and boost public transport across the region. Candy Richards, the FSB development manager for East Anglia, said, "It's important that small firms across the east of England are provided with the right environment, infrastructure and flexibility to be successful, and in turn help grow their local economy." And this is an ongoing thing, I seem to remember. This is Lady P's 90,000 judgment. A legal judgment ordering an estate agency to pay £90,000 to Lady P, Patricia Ramshaw, in the latest twist of the bizarre Broads housing row, has been set aside by a judge. Lady P has been involved in a long-running row with the wealthy Cater family over her rental and eviction later from the old house in Ranworth. The bitter feud centred around her tenancy of the period property, which began in November 2021 and saw her move in with a menagerie of animals. But relations soon became sour, with the warring parties becoming entrenched in a lengthy legal row, which has seen a tribunal and several court hearings. Last month, a judgment was made against the estate agency at the heart of the row, Starkings and Watson, over its advertising of the property to begin with. Self-styled Lady P, who works as a sex therapist, made a claim through the Civil National Business Centre for £90,000, which initially led to an order being made in absence of a response from the agency, ordering them to pay a debt to her. But now a judge has thrown out the previous ruling, ordering the agency to pay after the organisation was able to show it had responded in time. Christopher Starkings, its managing director, said, "As expected, the courts confirmed they had, in fact, received all the necessary and associated paperwork and immediately started the process of setting the case aside. The matter is now in the hands of our legal representatives." Lady P's claim came after a property ombudsman ruled that S&W had not properly established whether the old house had a valid energy statement at the start of the rental. Lady P confirmed she had not yet been informed of the ruling being set aside. She said, "I look forward to seeing whatever defence Starking and Watson has brought, but I have not yet seen it." Whilst the judgment has been set aside, the claim will be heard at a later date. Galston's Library is swapping its current site for an unlikely high street location as part of efforts to revamp council buildings and make them more eco-friendly. Galston Library will be housed temporarily in a former hair salon 200 metres away in order for Norfolk County Council to carry out work to modernise its portfolio of civic buildings. It's the first library to undergo the improvements as part of an £83 million scheme to retrofit almost 200 council buildings, ranging from community hubs, offices, fire stations and museums. The authority has submitted plans to temporarily change the use of the Fusion Hair Salon at 165 High Street next to the Palace Cinema for 12 months in order for the work to be completed. Councillor Jane James, Cabinet Member for Corporate Services and Innovation, said, "The temporary site at Galston High Street is very close to the existing library and has been chosen to minimise disruption to library services, ensuring that residents continue to have access to books, digital resources and community programmes. I'm delighted that Norfolk County Council has a programme of investing in its libraries to modernise them, providing better lighting, heating and improving the feel of the sites. I know how much Galston Library and its services mean to residents, so minimising disruption during these works is vital. Construction company Mace is the main contractor behind the Future Ready project, which hopes to provide long-term cost savings through the energy efficiency improvements. The cash-strapped authority, which is currently attempting to find £60 million in cuts and savings, intends to borrow money in order to complete the works. The bill is a sign of the huge cost facing local taxpayers to achieve council ambitions to reach net zero status by the end of the decade. A new sound-activated camera has been installed on Great Yarmouth Seafront in a bid to tackle the noise pollution created by antisocial drivers. As the fight against revving engines, loud music and popping exhaust pipes continues, the Great Yarmouth Borough Council has installed a new audio recognition camera outside St Nicholas Car Park on the South Beach Parade. The cameras look similar to speed cameras, but they are fitted with a microphone and automatic number plate recognition technology. The aim is to capture noisy antisocial behaviour, such as sounding a car horn unnecessarily, playing excessively loud music, racing and performing stunts, such as donuts, skidding and handbrake turns. All footage is reviewed before notices are issued to drivers and seek to reduce pressure on police resources. This trial, made possible by the Home Office Safety Streets Fund and sponsored by Norfolk Police and Crime Commissioner and Great Yarmouth Borough Council, will run for 12 months. It comes after Great Yarmouth were chosen to take part in a national trial between October 2022 and February 2023 due to it being a hotspot for excessively noisy vehicles.
OK, it's time to reveal the activities for September at the Vision Norfolk Great Yarmouth Hub. Bookings for all activities will start on Tuesday the 20th of August. So let's start with the regular activities. There's a coffee morning at Great Yarmouth on Wednesday the 4th, Thursday the 19th and Wednesday the 25th from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. The Martham Coffee Morning for September is on Monday the 16th from 10 a.m. until 12. Games Mornings for September happen every Thursday from 10 until 12 and the Basket Weaving Sessions are on Friday the 6th, 13th and the 20th from 10 until 12. In addition, Fishy Friday is on the 6th of September from 1 until 2 p.m. The Baby Group is on Monday the 9th of September from 11 until 12:30 p.m. And there's tennis on Tuesday on the 10th of September from 10 until 12:30. And on Wednesday the 11th of September, brunch at Sarah's Tea Rooms from 10 until 12. Thursday the 12th of September, it's Knit and Natter from 1 until 3. And on Tuesday the 17th, there's a trip to Cromer from 10 until 3. Wednesday the 18th of September, the hub is closed due to staff training. So on to Friday the September the 20th, which sees creative writing from 1 until 3. Monday the 23rd, My List Says New Client volunteers drop in at St George's Theatre from 1:30 till 3:30, but I'm not sure what that's about. Tuesday the 24th of September is Clip and Climb from 3 until 4 p.m. and that's at the Marina Centre. Transport is not provided. Wednesday the 25th of September, there's a one-to-one tech session from 1 until 2 p.m. OK, Friday the 27th of September has the rug workshop from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. And the audiobook club is at the Great Yarmouth Library from 1:30 until 3 p.m. Monday the 30th of September is the Pathmakers Walk with the time and place to be arranged. Now, please be aware that for Fishy Friday and the brunch at Sarah's Tea Rooms, the Hub will need your money and your orders by Wednesday the 4th of September. Please contact the team to discuss your order and the prices. And for any other info on any activities, please contact the Hub and speak to a member of staff who will be happy to help. The contact details are Vision Norfolk, 01493 745 973, email greatyarmouthhub@visionnorfolk.org.uk, and the Hub address is 12 Hall Quay, Great Yarmouth, NR30 1HP. OK, back to Margaret for more local news.
A petition has been launched calling on the Labour government to move forward with the rebuilding of the James Paget University Hospital. The rebuild of the Gorston Hospital was on track to be completed in 2030. However, plans were put on hold after Chancellor Rachel Reeves announced the Labour government would be reviewing the new hospital's programme, which included the James Paget and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in King's Lynn. The review is part of a £22 billion financial gap, she said, was part of Labour's inheritance from the former Conservative government. Although Labour said it would commit to rebuilding Gorston Hospital if elected, the council announced the programme for the crumbling hospitals was being put under immediate review. It has led the Conservatives in Great Yarmouth setting up a petition demanding the James Paget rebuild is put firmly back on the agenda. Carl Smith, leader of Great Yarmouth Borough Council and the Conservative group, said, "The rebuilding of the James Paget was a key cornerstone of the Conservatives' plan to support not just Great Yarmouth, but swathes of Norfolk and Suffolk as well. We as a community need to come together and make it clear that we are united in our calls for the new hospital to be delivered." Emma Flaxman-Taylor, Cabinet Member for Housing, Health and Communities at the Borough Council, said, "During the election, the Labour candidate explicitly pledged that the James Paget would be rebuilt after Conservatives raised legitimate concerns based on their manifesto. They should honour that word. We will continue to work to ensure that we get the new facility we deserve." Trevor Wainwright, leader of the Labour group at the council, said the petition is a bit rich coming from the Conservatives. He said, "They've had how many years to move this along? And now they've started a petition against a government that has only been in power for 6 weeks. We all want to see the hospital rebuilt and see it progressing, but no decision has been made, so starting a petition seems a bit premature." And you can sign the petition at www.greatyarmouth-conservatives.org/uk/campaigns/campaign-rebuild-james-paget-hospital. A misogynistic police officer showed explicit photos to a junior female colleague and sent her WhatsApp messages urging her to show him naked pictures. The sergeant also made sexist comments and derogatory remarks about periods and left the woman, a PC, feeling fearful of confronting him. He faced disciplinary action after his behaviour was reported, but left the force before the case went to a hearing, where the panel ruled his actions amounted to gross misconduct and that he should be sacked had he not already resigned. The panel has now established its findings, but kept the officer anonymous after he requested it. This has prompted criticism from campaigners who argue that such an important process should be made transparent to protect the reputation of the police and reassure the public. This is extremely rare in other comparable professional misconduct cases, such as those involving teachers, doctors, or nurses. The Norfolk Constabulary case comes amid growing public concern and increased scrutiny of public misconduct following a number of high-profile scandals. The hearing was told the officer sent two WhatsApp messages to the female PC's personal mobile phone in September 2021, including one stating, "I think you're very attractive," followed by an improper statement. The following day, while alone together in the constabulary's firearms armoury, he showed her a photo of a man and woman having sex, after asking if she wanted to see a picture of his partner. 10 dead gulls have been found in the town, including one which appeared to have been shot by an air gun. The RSPCA is investigating after the charity was alerted by concerned members of the public who work in the industrial estate on Halfreys Road in Great Yarmouth. The gulls' bodies had been put in a skip and had been found either on the ground or on top of a warehouse roof. One of the birds, which appears to have been shot with an air gun, as it had a pea-sized hole in the sternum and was covered in blood, has been taken for a post-mortem examination. The remaining gulls' bodies were too decomposed to establish a cause of death, but given the large numbers found dead, the animal welfare charity is treating it as suspicious. The RSPCA was also sent a video recording of the birds on top of a warehouse, fleeing when the sound of gunshots was heard. RSPCA Animal Rescue Officer Tom Brody said, "It is concerning to hear that a number of birds have been found dead. While we don't know the cause of all the deaths, it's suspicious considering they were found in the same area and there was a large number of them. I have made inquiries in the area, but I would like to hear from anyone who may know who's responsible for this. Anyone with information is urged to call the RSPCA Inspector Appeal Line on 0300 123 8018, quoting incident 0131-2407. All wild birds are protected under the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981, and it is illegal, except under licence, to take, injure or kill wild birds." Mr. Brody added, "We continue to call for tighter controls on air weapons." This, along with better education and explanation of the law when buying an air gun, and requirements that everyone must receive basic safety training before being allowed to walk out of the shop, could relieve the problem. He was a soldier who served in the Boer War and the First World War, and made sure his fellow troops had the best khaki uniforms. Henry William Meacham was born in Beccles in 1860 and enlisted at Great Yarmouth in the Norfolk Regiment in 1883 while he was a tailor. After transferring to the King's Royal Rifle Corps in 1897 and serving in the Second Boer War from December 1901 to June 1904, his rank became noted as Sergeant Master Tailor. His role was to tailor and maintain uniforms for infantry battalions. He was discharged from service in October 1905, but re-enlisted at the outbreak of the First World War. And now the military tailor's 129-year-old sketchbook, containing unique illustrations of infantry uniforms, has been sold at auction and is set for public display at London's National Army Museum. The sketchbook, which is known as a pattern book, is from 1895 and was found in a family home in Derby. The book contains meticulously hand-illustrated patterns and measurements for British military clothing, such as mounted infantry breeches, spats and vests. It also shows medal ribbons from Victorian military campaigns, designs for groom and coachman frock coats and civilian clothing. Striking drawings including summer 1895 fashion for men, a Victorian lady on a bicycle, dogs, horses, birds, fish, flags, and a pair of tailor's scissors. After being discharged from service for the final time, Mr. Meacham was awarded a Silver War Badge in 1920, which remained his only medal from the era. He died in Norfolk in 1938, age 78. The Second Boer War saw a turning point for the British soldier's uniform, with a move to now familiar khaki. His work sold for £4,600, more than double the album's £1,500 to £2,000 estimate. In a statement, his family said, "It seemed a shame to keep it hidden away. We're so pleased it's going to the National Army Museum." It was sold by Hanson's Auctioneers. Hanson's head of Militaria, Matt Croson, said, "It was an amazing one-off find. I've never seen anything like it. It brims with page after page of fascinating illustrations, many hand-coloured, showcasing a bygone age. To serve your country from your early 20s through to your 50s tells us much about Sergeant Meacham's character. His pattern book also shows another aspect of the war, the involvement of master tailors in the creation of uniforms." Workers were left stranded offshore after, as previously reported, a Norfolk engineering firm went into administration. Specialised Management Services, SMS Alderley, a manufacturer for the oil and gas industry based in Galston, entered administration last month, leading to hundreds of job losses. Now, former SMS Alderley staff have revealed employees working on offshore rigs were told by the firm to arrange and pay for their own way back to the UK and claim the money back from the administrators. Others who were based in Norway say they were thrown out of a hotel as the company their rooms were booked through had not been paid by SMS Alderley. Eventually, following internal negotiations, the administrators agreed to fund the flights. Staff found out they had lost their jobs on July the 24th, just 2 days before payday. There was no thought from the business to help, especially the contractors, and initially they were told to pay for themselves to get home, which was disgusting, a former SMS Alderley employee, who asked not to be named, said. They were also kicked out of the hotel in Norway as the company we had booked it through had not been paid. It was such a shambles. Formed in 1999, SMS manufactured equipment and provided maintenance and installation services for the energy sector, specialising in hydraulic, pneumatic and electrical control systems. It was acquired by its parent company, Alderley PLC, a Gloucestershire-based engineering firm, in 2003. Both Alderley PLC and Alderley Systems have also entered administration. The company payroll would have been 2 to 3 weeks before payday, so Alderley knew this wasn't going to happen, the former employee added. But rather than tell the staff and give us time to sort out mortgages and bills, they had us work. Dozens of local businesses are owed thousands by the firm, including Lowestoft firm S&G Fabrications, which claims to be owed £250,000. And this is a bit creepy. Fen raft spider continues to thrive. Oh, my word. The UK's largest spider that creates webs the size of a pizza is thriving at sites across Norfolk and North Suffolk. The Fen raft spider was brought back from the brink of extinction thanks to a successful breeding programme, and there are now thousands across the region. Before 2010, the spider was incredibly rare, but is now thriving at sites such as the Mid-Yare National Nature Reserve in Norfolk and at Castle Marshes and Carlton and Olton Marshes near Lowestoft, thanks to the programme pioneered by Dr. Helen Smith. A striking ambush predator with a dark body and cream stripes down the side, it can have a leg span of up to 8 centimetres and a body the size of a small mouse. Ben Lewis, an RSPB warden at Sutton Fen, said the spiders flourish due to the sites providing a perfect habitat of grazed grassland and good quality ditches. Last year, a census at Strumpshaw Fen counted 3,750 spiders at the reserve. As their name suggests, the spiders raft across the water without breaking the surface tension, eating a variety of prey such as dragonflies, other spiders, tadpoles, pond skaters, and even small fish. But Mr. Lewis says the scariest thing about the spiders is probably their size. "I've never heard of anyone being bitten by one," he said. "They won't have people fleeing from their bedrooms. They would only be that in good quality land, and I'd be extremely surprised if anyone found one in their garden or pond." For anyone who would like to see one, he suggests going along to Strumpshaw Fen and having a look at the ditches. The females have two broods in the second, usually coming out early to mid-September. The webs can be up to 25 centimetres across, the size of a regular pizza, and the egg sacs are the size of a marble. Well, I shall be staying away from Strumpshaw Fen.
Close the door, they're coming in the window. Close the door, they're running up the stairs. Close the door, they're hanging on the ceiling. Those are everywhere. He was watering the flowers on the windowsill, and then he saw them coming over yonder hill.
Why, there must have been a million of every shape and size, and so I yelled to everyone, "You'd better get inside.
Close the door, they're coming in the window. Close the door, they're running up the stairs. Close the door, they're hanging on the ceiling. Those are everywhere." He ran into the playroom, grabbed a cricket bat, and every time he met one, he gave him this and that.
But how it drove me crazy and had me mystified. The more and more I knocked them down, the more they multiplied.
Close the door, they're coming in the window. Close the door, they're running up the stairs. Close the door, they're hanging on the ceiling. Those are everywhere. They got into the kitchen, they got into the sink. They went into the cellar and bought themselves a drink.
They got on the piano, ran up and down the keys, and soon I was a-standing in them right up to me knees.
Close the door, they're coming in the window. Close the door, they're running up the stairs. Close the door, they're hanging on the ceiling. Those are everywhere.
Now that all the fuss is over, I sink into my chair. This house is all a shambles, but really I don't care.
I'm going to take it easy, try not to think of them.
Close the door, they're running up the stairs. Close the door, they're hanging on the ceiling. Those are everywhere. Close the door, they're everywhere.
The Stargazers there with Close the Door. If my memory serves me correctly, the Stargazers were regulars on the Billy Cotton Band show on the Light programme. However, rule number one is never trust my memory. Okay, let's leap into the rest of this week's news so Margaret can get back to Galston Seafront and the Sun.
Great Yarmouth men jointly charged. Two men have been jointly charged with the rape of a woman at a property in Great Yarmouth. Timoteo Noronha, 25, and Estefanio Gonsalves, 22, of Albion Road in Great Yarmouth, both face two charges of rape between 26th of February and the 27th in 2022. Norona spoke only to confirm his name, address and age in the dock at Great Yarmouth Magistrates Court. Magistrates committed him to appear at Norwich Crown Court on September the 11th, as the case is too serious for their powers. His defence solicitors said they had been unable to take full instructions due to language difficulties and said there was no indication of a plea. He was given unconditional bail after prosecutor Holly Possell said the language difficulties meant he would be unable to understand any conditions. Gonsalves, who is currently on remand at HMP Peterborough in relation to separate charges, did not appear in court. Rob New, representing him, said efforts were being made to find an interpreter in Tatum, a language spoken on the island of Timor. Magistrates adjourned his case until August the 21st. Councils in low-lying counties like Norfolk could have to cut services because of surging costs to stop flooding, leaders have been warned. Calls have been made for the government to overhaul the way bodies which oversee flood alleviation are funded, because taxpayers are being penalised. Sam Chapman-Allen, leader of Conservative-controlled Breckland Council and chairman of the District Council's network, DCN, is leading calls for charges as to how internal drainage boards are funded. The boards, of which there are more than 10 in Norfolk, have seen costs go up by 28% since 2022/23, amid higher energy and fuel prices, along with increasingly extreme wet weather events. Until 2016, the levy these boards impose on councils to pay for work, such as building new pumping stations and clearing streams, was reimbursed by the government. But since then, councils have been expected to pay for it using their own revenue, including from money generated by council tax. With government restrictions on annual council tax rises, campaigners say that means less money is available for council services. Mr. Chapman Allen said that means taxpayers in places such as Norfolk are being unfairly penalised. He said, "It is only by properly funding flood prevention that defences can be maintained over vast swathes of the country and we avoid catastrophic flooding threatening life and livelihood. Internal drainage authorities have little option but to pass on their higher costs onto councils, and in response, councils have no choice but to further cut back on the local services, which are vital for supporting local communities and growing local economies. We urge ministers to work with us to ensure those living in areas of risk of flooding are not unfairly penalised through the form of higher tax bills and a reduction in the services upon which we all depend." The DCN said potential solutions could include the government funding the full costs of drainage boards to councils or scrapping the council tax cap. A local environmental educational centre has celebrated its 40th anniversary. Howe Hill, near Ludham, is known for its thatched house and surrounding woodland and marshland. It was taken over by the Howe Hill Trust in 1983, following closure by the County Council due to cutbacks. It has since provided day and residential courses for both children and adults focusing on the local ecology and heritage. To celebrate the milestone, the charity invited more than 60 guests with past connections to the centre, providing them with insight into the centre's upcoming plans. These guests, who include early trustees and family of the regional owners, toured the house, gardens and visiting Wherry Hathor. The Hathor is a regular feature at the centre each summer, contributing to its heritage education. Howe Hill's director, Simon Partridge, said the venue now combined school and adult courses and, unlike some other similar centres, had survived the enforced COVID break, using it to future-proof the house by adding on en suites to the bedrooms. With these modifications, the centre plans to increase its adult offerings, which include garden tours, choral society stays, and yoga retreats, among others. Chairman Richard Batson emphasised the emotional connection many visitors have with Howe Hill, stating, "Many adult visitors remember the great time they had at Howe Hill as schoolchildren, and we aim to ensure that continues into the future." He further acknowledged the financial challenges faced due to rising operational costs and encouraged continual support through ticket sales, donations, and joining their friends group. Upcoming adult courses at Howe Hill include a 7-day sailing experience in late August. For more information, the centre can be reached via phone or email. A seaside arcade has been left damaged after a group of teens smashed up one of its machines. The amusements in Great Yarmouth Marine Parade are a must-visit for many people making a trip to the coast, but one has now been left damaged in the town's latest act of vandalism. A group of teenagers entered the arcade just before 3:30 p.m. on Friday, August the 9th. The visit took a turn when the group was seen punching the glass of a penny machine. The damage continued when they ripped the top off another machine. Police have begun investigating the incident of criminal damage and are appealing to the public for witnesses. Anyone who saw anything or has any information should contact Norfolk Constabulary on 101. A man has denied taking sexual images of a woman in her bedroom without her knowledge after sneaking into her home. Gino Louis, 55, is also accused of threatening to send the sexually compromising images to the school where the woman works. Great Yarmouth Magistrates Court was told it alleged he had also threatened to disclose the images on TikTok. His actions were alleged to have a profound effect on the woman, the court was told. Louis, of Middlegate in Great Yarmouth, pleaded not guilty to voyeurism in relation to the taking of images at a property in the Suffolk coastal village of Warbeswick on June the 23rd last year. He did not enter pleas to two charges of threatening to disclose private sexual photos with intent to cause distress. Rob New, representing Louis, said he denied there had been a lack of consent and that the images had been taken with her knowledge. Magistrates declined jurisdiction and committed him to stand trial at Ipswich Crown Court with a preliminary hearing on September the 11th. He was given unconditional bail. A woman claimed she was knocked to the ground and attacked by two dogs while walking with her young son at a Great Yarmouth holiday park. Anne-Marie Daniels from Cambridge visited the Cherry Tree Holiday Park in Borough Castle with her two sons and her parents earlier this month. The 46-year-old said the trip was lovely until two dogs belonging to another visitor turned on her and her 7-year-old son on the evening of August the 7th. "We were about a 5-minute walk away from our caravan when two dogs behind us started pelting towards my son," she recalled. "I started shouting to him, 'Run, run,' and when the dogs heard my voice, they turned on me and took me to the ground. They were on top of me. They bit my face and bit my shoulder. My son ran 4 caravans down to get my mum, who came out shouting, 'Help, help.' She said the dogs ran away after around 15 seconds, leaving her shaken up and covered in blood." A spokeswoman for the park, which is run by Park Dean Resorts, said, "The safety of our guests is extremely important to us, so our security staff worked with the local police and paramedics, who confirmed while on site they were satisfied Anne and all other guests were okay and no further steps were needed. Our park rules state that dogs must be kept on leads at all times, and we have a zero tolerance policy on this. The dogs were removed the following day." A Norfolk police spokeswoman confirmed officers were called to the incident and that a woman and a child received superficial injuries which did not require hospital treatment. A dog incident form was completed and the dog owner was informed it must be kept on a lead and in secure premises. Trespasser on train tracks. Police had to intervene after a person was caught trespassing on train tracks near Norwich. Train services between Norwich and Great Yarmouth and Lowestoft and Sheringham were disrupted this morning due to the trespasser. Greater Anglia confirmed that the police had apprehended the person and all lines had reopened. They added, due to the disruption caused, some services may be delayed, altered or cancelled at short notice. It is understood that the Norfolk Fire and Rescue Service was also involved in the incident, with three crews attending Cremorne Lane in Thorpe St Andrew at 6:30 a.m. to assist the police.
That's it for this week's edition, which is copyright 2024 of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accepts responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. Don't forget you can contact us from our website at grapevinegy.org if you have any queries over our service. Your newsreader next week will be Andrew, so we hope for your company then for much more of your local news. In the meantime, from all at Grapevine, stay safe and well, mind out for the huge spiders, and bye for now.